In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lent begins tomorrow. It's a daunting prospect, perhaps, but also it is a joyful opportunity. And the church appoints for us an epistle and a gospel today to prepare us for that work of repentance that we are to begin in earnest tomorrow. St. Paul in the epistle reminds us of why we are fasting, of why not only are we fasting, but we're engaging in all of these spiritual disciplines that also complement our fasting, like being reconciled to others whom we have offended or who have offended us, doing works of service to those who are in need, praying more, attending church more. You see, we often focus on the work that we have to do, but not on the reward. We focus on the negative without seeing the incomparably greater positive that stands at the end of that work. St. Paul proclaims to us that our salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. In the night of this world, we are almost to the end, almost to the dawning of that new day of Christ's eternal kingdom. See, we're immersed in the night of this world, and we think that that's all that there is. But there is more, as Christ has revealed to us, as the apostles have proclaimed, as the martyrs have died in witness of this more that awaits us, the dawning day of Christ's eternal kingdom. And so, knowing this, having been told this, it makes sense for us to prepare. So St. Paul goes on and says, cast off the works of darkness. We don't belong to this night that surrounds us. We belong to the day that is coming. So cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. He sort of repeats the same thought in another way. He says, make no provision for the flesh which draws us towards those works of darkness. Don't pay attention to it, but instead put on the Lord Jesus, that armor of light, that clothing which is appropriate for the day. That is our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I want to take a few moments to meditate on what that means, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We also proclaim in a hymn that's sung on our most important feast days, as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It's the same word in Greek. This word in Greek has different levels of meaning. And so I want to explore those with you in order to better understand this task of repentance that we are entering into and why we're entering into it and what it does for us. So to put on Christ at its most basic level means to be clothed with him. That verb put on in Greek means it's primarily used with regard to clothes, dressing yourself. We're to be dressed with Christ. Just as police officers and firemen and soldiers wear uniforms that identify them as belonging to that service, so we have been clothed with Christ as our uniform to show that we are in his service, that we belong to him. So everything that we do reflects on him. Just as, you know, a service member gets in more trouble if they do something wrong wearing their uniform than not wearing their uniform, so because we are clothed with Christ, It's worse for us when we fall short, because other people see us as representing Christ, as representing His church. And when we fall short, it reflects on Him. But this idea of clothing ourselves with Christ reminds us of how we are dedicated to His service, as I said. Each morning when we awake and stand before our icons and pray, it's like we're putting on that uniform again, reminding ourselves, perhaps saying the creed, reminding ourselves of this faith that we've espoused and the duty that we have to Christ. The Greek word put on also can be used with regard to actors in a dramatic performance. We use that same word, or those two words, put on, in the same sense. In Greek, too, putting on a character meant to dress like him, to imitate his words, to imitate his actions, and so that you could portray him to the audience. And so we are also called, having put on Christ as our uniform, to also put him on as a role that we are to play to those around us, imitating his words and his actions, serving others with his love, being faithfully obedient to God just as he was, even to the point of death. Finally, put on has an even deeper meaning in Greek, which is not obvious to us in English, but St. John Chrysostom points this out in one of his homilies, that in ancient Greek, you could use this word to describe a very close and intimate relationship between friends. Instead of the phrase put on, we might say wrapped up in. That two friends could be described as being wrapped up in each other because their feelings are so close to one another. Their thoughts are so close to one another because they're so dedicated to one another and spend so much time together. Likewise, we are called to be wrapped up in Christ, to have him be on our minds, in our thoughts, every moment of every day. His concerns, his cares, his will, his wishes, for them to be foremost in our thoughts. The amazing thing is that this is a mutual relationship. That Christ is already performing his part. He's already wrapped up in us by coming and being born of the Virgin Mary, being incarnate in our human nature. He has took the burden of all of our cares upon himself, and he still bears them as he sits at the right hand of God the Father on the throne of majesty. And so we're called now to reciprocate that selfless and self-giving love that he continues to offer to us. So that is the goal. That is our aim as we enter into Lent, to be clothed with Christ, to portray him to the world, to continue his works and to continue to speak his words to those around us and to draw near to him so that we can be wrapped up in him. And all of these works that we are given during the Great Fast are for this purpose. That time that we spend in prayer is time to be wrapped up in him. Time to pry our minds away from worldly concerns so that we can glue them to Him. Fasting has the aim not of separating us from good food, but of, again, prying our attention away from worldly things, from material happiness that only gives a momentary pleasure, so that we can give our attention rather to the service of God and to our communion, to growing in communion with Him. Serving others is a very clear way of portraying Christ to this world. Doing for this world what He did, having abandoned the palace, unimaginable palace of heaven, in order to live here with no roof to cover His head, wandering about, healing and helping all that He came across. So let us give thanks for this great opportunity that the church gives us to prepare for the day which is coming, our entry into the eternal kingdom of our Christ, so that we might enter into that day, enter into that kingdom, clothed with Him. To the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, together with His Father and the Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen.